Welcome to the debate. Today, we're looking at the price tag of our climate response. The data from NASA, the Royal Society, and Penn State paints a stark picture of a warming world. But the central question we're tackling today is, well, how do we pay for it?
Right. Do the projected impacts of climate change justify, you know, swallowing the staggering economic cost of immediate massive emissions cuts right now?
Yeah.
Or is there a smarter case to be made for relying on sensible, least-cost measures and regional adaptation?
Exactly. My position is that immediate, robust, and expensive action is really the only rational choice to prevent catastrophic systemic costs down the line.
And I'll be arguing for a more pragmatic approach, one that prioritizes least-cost measures and localized adaptation.
So getting right into it, the physical evidence just demands aggressive economic intervention right now. We're looking at NASA records showing a 1.1 degree Celsius temperature rise since 1850.
Mm-hmm.
The effects of that are already irreversible for people alive today. Relying on gradual adjustments just isn't enough to meet the scale of the challenge. The Penn State material really underscores that the ultimate cost to society of inaction far exceeds the upfront cost of robust, immediate responses.
Well, let's jump right into the economic meat of this, because nobody is disputing the warming trends in the NASA data.
Right. The warming is clear.
But what we really need to scrutinize is the timeline for the massive emission cuts being recommended by groups like the IPCC. Forcing that much economic shock through the global system all at once is, honestly, a recipe for disaster.
A disaster?
Yes, an economic one. The policy research out of Penn State actually models an alternative perfectly, highlighting what they call least cost measures. Essentially, this means picking the low-hanging fruit of adaptation, like upgrading vulnerable local infrastructure or shifting agricultural zones, rather than immediately tearing down our entire global energy grid. When you look at the NASA data, there's clear room for regional adaptability.
But
just to finish the thought, we're seeing lengthened frost-free growing seasons that are already allowing farmers to explore entirely new crop options. Adaptation is a powerful, economically viable tool that doesn't require us to bankrupt ourselves today.
The problem with relying on that low-hanging fruit is that it has a very hard ceiling. Those least-cost measures completely fail to account for severe, compounding consequences. NASA projects sea level rise could reach up to 6.6 feet by 2100 under high emission scenarios.
That's the high emission scenario, though.
True. But we are already seeing the area of forest burned by wildfires double in recent decades. And the IPCC is warning of a rapidly closing window. If you look at how the Royal Society tracks ecosystem health, it illustrates a terrifying march towards systemic collapse. Look at the recent intense Australian fires, which single-handedly increased the number of threatened species in that area by 14%. You cannot adapt your way out of ecosystem collapse by just moving crops around or building a few seawalls.
That ecosystem data is definitely sobering, I'll give you that. But we still have to ask, what happens if we break the global economy trying to fix it? Overcommitting resources right now risks an economic instability that would undermine our very ability to adapt to those fires or rising seas. A measured approach provides a buffer.
Yeah, but
it protects the economic engine that actually funds our resilience. Climate change impacts are highly uneven. NASA's data actually points out that while some areas face severe risks, the U.S. North is seeing increased winter and spring precipitation, and the West is getting those longer growing seasons we just mentioned. By utilizing localized adaptation, we deploy capital efficiently, exactly where it's needed most, rather than forcing a drastic global economic overhaul.
Except delaying robust action right now doesn't actually save money. The Penn State analysis explicitly states that it simply necessitates far more aggressive and astronomically expensive action in the future. Furthermore, as agronomists and ecologists have repeatedly shown, the negative impacts will completely swamp any of those isolated positive agricultural effects you mentioned.
Swamped entirely?
Yes. A temporary bump in crop yields in the West doesn't offset the catastrophic global loss of infrastructure and biodiversity. The math just doesn't support the idea that a measured approach is safer.
We clearly view the risk matrix differently. From my perspective, economic pragmatism and least-cost regional adaptation remain absolutely essential to any sustainable, realistic policy. we have to balance the environmental risks with the very real threat of economic fracture.
And I maintain that early, robust financial commitment is mathematically the only way to mitigate the compounding future costs of this crisis. We are out of time for half measures. But while we disagree on the scale and speed of the financial response, we certainly share a vital convergence today.
Absolutely. We both agree the stakes are incredibly high.
And that the climate is undeniably warming.
The realities of a warming world are no longer in question, only the mechanics and economics of our response.
Exactly. We aren't going to declare a winner today, as this is a complex issue requiring continuous rigorous analysis. We strongly suggest that listeners examine the source material and data from NASA, the Royal Society, and Penn State University to form their own conclusions.